Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com, beaconbaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are currently examining Paul's third petition in his prayer for the Colossian church. Petition number one, Colossians 1:9, is that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Number two, found in verse 10, is that they might walk worthy of the Lord. And his third petition, which we discover in verse 11, is that they might be strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. He is praying for them to have power, that is, spiritual power in their lives. On the broadcast yesterday, we discussed the first part of this petition, the power we need, being strengthened with all might. And what this is telling us is that whatever God requires, God makes the strength, the power, the energy, the vitality, the ability necessary to accomplish it available. He doesn't give it to us automatically, however. We need to apply to him for the resources to accomplish that which he commands us to do. Some think that God is somehow obligated to just grant the resources, the enabling, whenever he commands us to do something. But the Bible teaches us something different. God gives us a command that we cannot do. Not that we can, but that we cannot do. Please understand this. We have it before us right here in this text. Again, some people assume incorrectly that if God commands something, that in itself is evidence that man has the ability to do it. Else God wouldn't command it, or else it would be unfair for God to command it. But again, that's not what the Bible teaches. God makes commands, demands, whatever you want to call it, of us, and they are almost always things that we cannot do in and of ourselves. Why does he command something we cannot do? To make us conscious of our need. And then being conscious of our need, we go to him for resources, and God supplies the resources. Now, really, that's how it works. It's vitally important that you understand that's how it works. And it's obvious that in that there's nothing unjust at all. But we have to understand God's ways of working, or else we will misunderstand so much in the Bible. So, Paul is praying that the Colossian church may be filled with spiritual power to be able to carry out the things that God requires of them. That is a legitimate prayer. That is a wonderful prayer. Paul prayed it for them, and I pray it for myself, and I trust that you do as well. And so we'll continue exploring this on this Wednesday, November 11, and we are able to do so because of the financial gifts of radio listeners just like you. So, the power we need is the power to do whatever God commands. The source of this power is indicated by the words, according to his glorious power. Again, verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. His power. The word that is translated power here is used only of God in the New Testament. It is a Greek word, kratos. There are various words that are translated power. Sometimes the word power is dunamis. That means force, might, strength. Sometimes it is, I'm trying to think of another word off the top of my head. I think it's exousia, which means authority. It is sometimes translated power. I have the power to do this, meaning I have the authority to do it. I have the right to do it. But here the word power is kratos. And this is used, I say, only of the power of God in the New Testament. Of course, God's power encompasses many things. God certainly has authority. He has the right to rule his universe as he chooses to rule it. He has every right to do that. He has all the authority to do that. But he also has the power necessary to accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished. He has the ability. He has the force of energy. He is omnipotent. He has all power. So God has whatever power is needed for God to exercise his sovereign rule. And in that, these two concepts are combined together. God has the right to rule, but if he didn't have the power to enforce his right, then it would be a rather tame right. But God has both the right, that is the authority to rule, and God also has the might. He has the right and he has the might. He has the might to exercise his sovereign rule, which is always glorious and majestic. But this verse tells us that God will dispense some of his power to men. That's what's so amazing. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. The power of God himself, omnipotence, given to men according to the need, in proportion to the need. He doesn't give us more power than we need, but he gives us the power we need as we seek it from him, humbly, believingly, in prayer. The ultimate source of power, therefore, is pretty self-evident. It is God, not man. That's why Paul prayed for it. He wouldn't pray for it if he didn't need it, or he wouldn't pray for it if he didn't think the Colossians needed it. If he thought this was something that the Colossians already possessed, then he wouldn't pray to God to give it to them. But this power belongs to God, and it does not become ours until God bestows it upon us. And that's why Paul prayed for it, and that's why we should pray for it too. This power is sufficient for our every need. We talked about that on the broadcast, I think, yesterday. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But that's according to the need as God defines need and as God assigns need. We sometimes think we need things that we don't, frankly. Need must be defined by God. Need must be assigned by God. And needs, as God has assigned them, become opportunities for us to apply to God for the power, the strength, to perform what is necessary to meet that need. And so God gives ability to perform according to our need to perform and according to his ability to grant power, and who can question his ability? Who can question whether he has sufficient power to meet my need? And this power is an immediate source of power. God grants this power in concert with his word, which takes us back to verse 9, that we be filled with the fullness of the knowledge of his will. That's why we need to know his will, so we'll know what to ask for, so we'll know how to use the power that God dispenses. And a growing knowledge of God's will infuses the believer with a greater measure of spiritual power. In a sense, we receive that power as we learn how to handle it. God's not going to give us the power to do ourselves injury, to harm us. Would a father give a 6-year-old son a loaded pistol? I think not. Not a wise father, not a loving father, not a good father. He knows that that's too much power in the hands of someone who is not prepared to use it in a positive way. He's only going to hurt himself or somebody else with it. A father is not going to, probably is not going to give his 14-year-old teenager a 400 horsepower sports car. I'm not saying it's never been done, but most people understand there's not very much wisdom in that. I've seen some examples of that, not quite to that extreme, but I've seen parents buy their children expensive and powerful cars as soon as they received their license at age 16, and many times that act resulted in the most grievous tragedy. And most parents, no matter what their ability is, what their resources are, realize that it's not wise to do that and start their young people at something that's more appropriate to their age and stage. They are young, they are immature, they are inexperienced drivers, so give them something that is commensurate with their ability and let them learn how to handle that before you give them that monster, that fire-breathing monster with all of the horses that can do a lot of destruction. Well, no matter whether parents are wise or foolish, and you can find examples of both, I can promise you that God, our Heavenly Father, is never foolish. He's always wise. He's not only omnipotent, he is also omniscient. He is not only all-powerful, but he is God only wise, immortal, invisible, God only wise, the only one who is truly and ultimately and completely wise, wise with no mixture of folly, no mixture of lack of wisdom in any place. God has all wisdom, and therefore he's going to dispense his gifts appropriately. He's going to give them so that they will be beneficial and not harmful. You don't hand a 4-year-old girl a sharp butcher knife to play with. Not if you're wise. And God doesn't give us something that is powerful, but also potentially destructive to play with. He doesn't give that to people who don't demonstrate their ability to handle that appropriately. And that's why the first petition is that we be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We've got to have that first, don't we? And then secondly, that we would walk worthy of the Lord. That we would demonstrate in our life that we have a life that is bent on pleasing Christ. And then, when those things are in place, the third petition is entirely appropriate, that we would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Now the prayer for power given to those who are able to use it appropriately, wisely, effectively, for the glory of Christ and the advancement of his kingdom. Please return again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.